Hello. Today's reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, the angel's visit to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. My name is Mary. I'm old now. I've seen a lot in my lifetime. I've had joys, I've had sadnesses. I've got so many stories to tell, things that I've treasured in my heart. I've seen God at work in this world, at work in my life, even in my own body. Well, all of you women out there, you'll remember what it's like being 12 years old. It's no joke being a 12-year-old girl. Just like all of you, probably, I was awkward, I was spotty, I was gangly. I had all those hormones raging around, mood swings, wondering what to do with these changes that were happening to me as I went from being a girl to being a woman. They were confusing times. I'm sure you remember them too. And my whole life was about to change forever. I was betrothed. Soon I would be leaving the home where I'd grown up, the home that I'd known all my life with my parents, and I would be getting married to Joseph. I knew Joseph and his family. He was a good man. He was kind. He was caring. My parents said it was a good marriage because Joseph was from the royal line of King David. Well, royal or not, they didn't have much money to show for it in those days. Joseph was poor like me. He was a builder by trade, but at least he was kind. Not all men are kind. Marriage was, well, it was just a normal thing, something that I knew I had to go through. It was what was expected, it was what was planned out for me. I didn't have much choice in the matter. At the time, we all lived in Nazareth, you know, up north, not far from Galilee. It was not a great place, really. It was a bit of a backwater. A long way from the royal palace, a long way from the temple down south in Jerusalem, a long way from anywhere that was important or rich or grand. I was just an ordinary girl in an ordinary place. No one special. And I've often asked myself, why? Why me? God, why did you choose me? I'd grown up learning the stories of Israel's past. God calling us to be his people, the children of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, setting us free from the slavery of Egypt. Then the glory days of King David and King Solomon. But then the shame of disobedience and exile, and now occupation by the Roman Empire, and they're still here. Our country was and still is a mess. Always looking back to the glory days of the past and wondering where God has gone. I knew that one day God's promised one, the Messiah, was supposed to come and sort it all out, restore the kingdom to David's line. But it didn't look likely to happen soon, not here, not now. Well, not to the son of a builder in Nazareth, of all places. So I wonder, what would you do? What would you feel like if you were 12 years old and suddenly there was an angel in your house saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." I'm old now. It happened so many years ago, but when I think of that day, I can still feel my pulse racing. I can still feel the excitement, my heart beating. What is this about? I didn't know what to think. Me, a young girl from Nazareth, highly favoured by God? Why would an angel come here? Today, to me? And then he said, "The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. That was the kind of greeting that was given to the patriarchs and the prophets, people like Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah. Not to a spotty 12-year-old girl in an ordinary backwater town. I must have looked terrified because the angel seemed to realise that I needed some reassurance. "Don't be afraid, Mary," he said. He knew my name anyway, so he hadn't gone to the wrong person. He really did mean me. "You have found favour with God." Favour with God. What does that mean? I didn't really understand it at the time. I thought favour with God was something to be earned through being rich or clever or important, or maybe just by being a super good person. But later I learned that favour with God is grace. It's just a gift to be received, a blessing that we can't earn and we can't explain, something we can just receive and be grateful. But then the angel dropped this bombshell. "You will become pregnant," he said, "and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be the heir of David's kingdom. He'll rule over the people of Israel forever." What? I suppose I was expecting that I would have a baby, sooner or later. If I was getting married, then it was what would be expected of me. It was what women did. It was something I was a bit scared of, to be honest. The women, my aunties, my cousins, my friends, my neighbours, they often talked about having babies. I'd heard all the stories. They talked about being pregnant, about the tiredness, the sickness, the pains, the excitement as well, the feeling of the little fists and feet kicking inside them. They would try and guess the sex whenever they were pregnant, always hoping for a boy because a boy would be able to look after them in their old age. And they compared stories of births, of waters breaking and contractions, and then the miracle of hearing that first cry. And there were whispers of sad times too, when sometimes things had gone wrong. But this, to be the mother of this baby, this Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, God's salvation, the one who would redeem Israel, the one who would rule on the throne of David. Well, I hadn't expected this. None of us had expected this. I just didn't understand. I was bewildered. I couldn't get my head round it. I was 12 years old, for goodness sake. How would it happen? "How will this be?" I managed to stammer to the angel. "I'm still a virgin. I wasn't married yet. What would Joseph say? What would my family say? And if I was found to be pregnant out of wedlock, well, the punishments were severe. I would be risking shame, being ostracised by the community. Joseph might not want me anymore. I'd be a public disgrace." And then these words from the angel. Amazing words. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be the Son of God." And I realised that this was one of those moments. One of those moments when heaven and earth meet and touch one another. One of those moments when God breaks into history in a particular time, in a particular place, with a particular person. When God breaks in and does something new. I realised that God wasn't out there far away, somewhere up in the sky. That he was right there. He was in my house, present, alive, active and real. It was confusing, it was bewildering, but there was no stopping the work of God's Spirit. I look back at myself then, at my 12-year-old self, and I think that maybe now I perhaps understand it a little bit better. I was only a girl. Things have happened since then. A lot of things. I thought back then that the Messiah would be the one to do battle with the Romans, the one to restore the kingdom to Israel. But I remember that day, 30 years later, a long way from Nazareth, on that hill outside Jerusalem, when I stood there and I watched my boy, my son, who I loved so much, being killed. And I understand now that this was a different kind of victory. And that for it to work, he had to be both God and human. The Son of God. But also a real flesh and blood man. My son. In a way, I'm glad that my 12-year-old self didn't know all that was to come. But you know, the angel was kind. He must have seen my amazement and confusion, and he graciously gave me a sign. And it was a joyful sign. My cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, he told me. Oh, I loved Elizabeth. She lived near Jerusalem, and every time we used to go down there for the Passover festival, we used to go and visit. I knew that she'd always wanted a child, but had never been able to have one. And it was a matter of shame and sadness that it had just never happened for her. But now it was happening. I couldn't wait to see her and talk about it. For no word from God shall ever fail, said the angel. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Echoing the promise to old Mother Sarah in those old, old stories, when she was chosen to be the mother of Isaac, the mother of the child of promise. No word from God shall ever fail. These were words for me to hold on to, words for me to cling to by my fingernails sometimes, even when everything seemed to be going wrong, even later when he was captured by the Romans, even when I stood there watching them killing him. No words from God shall ever fail. And they turned out to be true. So I had a choice on that day when Gabriel came to me. That 12-year-old girl had a choice. I could say yes to the angel. I could go with it. I could embrace God's future for me, following this path of narrow obedience to God, no matter how difficult it would get. Or I suppose I could have fought it, doubted it, disbelieved it, run away, turned my back on God and his call. But I'd always been taught by my mother to pray, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." That was my prayer. And it's a prayer that's become a kind of family prayer. A prayer that I prayed with my children, "Thy will be done." A prayer that I passed on to Jesus and that he passed on to those who came after him, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." A prayer of utmost trust, a prayer placing our lives into the hands of the God who loves us and who knows us and who has a plan for us. It may be a plan that involves great cost and great sacrifice. It may be a plan that involves the laying down of our lives. But it's a plan that will lead us into the presence of God. A plan that will unleash the work of the Holy Spirit, and a plan that will lead us into eternal life with him. "I am the Lord's servant," I said to the angel. "Let it be to me as you have said." I chose life. I'm old now, and my life on this earth is almost over, but I've never regretted the choice I made that day. And my soul still magnifies the Lord, and my spirit still rejoices in God, my Saviour. Amen. You might want to close your eyes as we just have a short time of reflection. First of all, God is calling each one of us to make a choice today. A choice between going our own way or saying, "I am the Lord's servant. Your will be done," and trusting our lives fully into his hands. Let's just have a few moments of quiet now as we think, what is our response to that choice? Are we willing to say, "I am your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. Your will be done." We're ordinary people in an ordinary place at a difficult and confusing time in history. And yet, the Spirit of God comes to each one of us and wants to work in and through us to transform us into his servants. I wonder what God might be saying to you today, or to your church. And so we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit." Amen.